Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that the blessing of the Lord comes upon you as you listen. Here's today's message in progress.
Father, we just thank you. We thank you for the opportunity to worship, to listen to the words that we sing to you. Words of healing, words of correction, words of direction, words that glorify you. And as we are in a position of worship, I saw a couple things. And one was, I saw some people in here with chains on them, and I saw Jesus just gently removing chains off people's, like shackles off their feet. Some had chains on their backs, and I love when Jesus does that because he is the only one that can. He is the one that knows how to heal us completely. He's the one that knows how to deliver us. He's the one who sets us up for victory every day. And, you know, we sang a few songs about his precious altar. And I had a flash of, you know, back in the old days when we'd have the meetings in Bristol, and he'd put on my heart every once in a while, and we'd come to the altar and we'd set up chairs and we'd make it like an altar, and you know, we'd throw a red blanket on it, and throughout worship we would just, you know, we'd go up and we'd either, you know, release a burden or a struggle, or we'd wrestle at the altar, or maybe get some deliverance at the altar, and sometimes some revelation, sometimes correction. And It reminded me when I saw the chains, you know, I opened my eyes and I looked here and I thought, oh, there's an altar right there. That's an altar. Right. And I thought, wow, how sweet that is. And I started thinking about how sometimes, you know, we get so caught up in our heads with the cycling thoughts of bondage and torment, that we are almost afraid to break out of the shackles, that we get used to them. And I was reminded of how many times I've come to the altar, whether it's a physical altar or a spiritual altar, where I wrestle with God. And, I don't think we talk enough about this, because a couple things happens. You know, I was watching in the spirit, and when you have the courage to get up, there is something about the courage to get up that it starts the freedom release, and the rest is just the victory dance, so to speak. And I remember being in the chair, on that side of the chair, and struggling with the burden to get up. I could feel the torment in my heart, and the woo of the Holy Spirit, you know, just go to the altar, release it at the altar. And I'd be like, I do believe, but help me with my unbelief. What will people think? I don't want people to think I'm weird. And so I'd be challenged with these mental thoughts, sometimes fiery darts from the enemy, and you combine them both together, and I sat in the chair another week, bound in chains, and I lost again, and I lost again, and I lost again. And then the enemy would be like, you lost again. You're never going to get free. You're never going to get free. But the Spirit, the Holy Spirit who dwells inside of me, is like, come on, stand up. There's a victory chant to be sung. Come on, you can do it. All you got to do is just make the move. And every time I'd listen to that still small voice and make the move, I'm telling you, breakthrough came. And so I wonder how much more breakthrough would come if we would just liberate ourselves to be free to let the Lord be Lord, and just obey that still small voice of the Holy Spirit when he prompts us. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've missed it and regretted, like a move of the Spirit will be happening, and I'd be like shy, and I'd be like, what will people think? If that's weird. But I've seen other times when I dove in, and the victory and the breakthrough and the increase of the revelation or a healing would take place, or a deeper realm of his glory. And so what I'm saying is, you know, we get so programmed to sit in our seats and act like everything's fine. But meanwhile, I see Jesus wanting to remove chains in here tonight. And if he wants to do that, there's an open invitation. But here's the thing. Sometimes when you're shy and bound, you just won't get up. And I'm not going to challenge you to get up. That's between you and the Lord. But sometimes just a move of direction towards the want to is all that you need. There's been times I've been so shy and bound, the want to was so strong, and I'd be sweating because there's like this battle going on. And if I could just get out of the seat. And I couldn't so many times. But then the days I did, it would be like huge breakthrough. And so I'm going to challenge us to pay attention to the woo of the Holy Spirit. And I'm not saying come up here to the altar, but I'm saying come up here to the altar. Be led by the Lord, because it's between you and the Lord. It's not between you and me. It's not between me and your neighbor or whoever. See, God is wooing us to victory all the time. And sometimes we get these like cloths or garments of shame that the enemy will put on us because we do something stupid, or we come into agreement with something stupid, or the devil just tries to get us hoodwinked into believing that we did something when we didn't even do anything. And so I feel like there's like a release in here to unzip the garments of shame, the garments of I don't belong here. You know, we've had people who, and they testify later. That's what I love about this. They'll testify. They'll think we don't like them. And they'll be sitting here tormented because the enemy is trying to get them not to come back anymore. And so that I do want to come, but I'm not going to come because they don't like me. That battle that goes on, we've had people break through that and then testify. And I've had other people come up to me later and say, I thought you were really weird, but now I get it. And I'm so sorry. And I'm like, I didn't even know you thought I was weird. I don't even care, you know, because there has to be a point where we no longer care what people think we look like. Because if you could see who you are in the Spirit, if you would look in the mirror, the mirror of the Spirit, if you'd look in the Word of God, you are wonderfully created. You are fearfully and wonderfully created. You are created in the very image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's some revelation to chew on. But meanwhile, the enemy, the accuser, and that's his job, he's to accuse, he's trying to say, no, you're ugly, no, you're dumb, no, you don't fit in. Listen, you fit in Jesus. There's only one lock and key, and that is the image of Jesus Christ. You can try to fit into a church, you can try to fit into your family, it's just not going to work. You fit into Jesus Christ. He is your maker. He is the one that will satisfy you no matter what. You can try any program. You can go to any church Bible study, and that's all good. But I'm telling you, you want to connect. You want to feel free. Find Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Find the Holy Spirit as your mentor and guide. Find the Father and let the love of God be released upon you, through you, and in you to bring forth healing from the trauma of your life as you grew up. Can we stop pretending? Can we please stop pretending? You know, oftentimes people will say to me, like testimonies, you know, we just came off of a wonderful retreat up at Green Lake. Goodness, 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 goodness. That's all I'm going to say. And there's people that won't testify publicly, and I used to be like that. I get it. But they'll come up afterwards and they'll testify of some crazy supernatural thing that happened to them. Maybe they got healed physically or emotionally or mentally, but they're too shy. And I'm going to tell you, that same spirit is the same one that prevents us from going to the altar. There's a spirit that wants to keep us in bondage. Because once we get who we really are in Jesus, it's over for him. It really is, because the battle has already been won by Jesus Christ. He took care of it all, and he released the keys to us, kind of like says, here's the keys, drive until I get home. And so he gives us everything in the kingdom of God to steward, but we don't know how to do it because we're broken and bound, and so we need to get down on our knees. We need to hold on to the altar and wrestle it out with God. Wrestle it out. It's wrestling is good. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've been on my knees, not arguing, just trying to, get free from the junk over the years of my life. And it's like, Lord, I'm a mess. I don't know what to do. I've done everything. I've read every book. I've prayed. I've fasted. Here I am again, Lord. You got to help me. And it's that heart's cry. Here I am again, Lord. You got to help me. That, what good father can resist that? None. Our Father cannot resist the cry. He loves us. He loves us so much, he sent his Son to take our place. And so I'm encouraging us. I'm stirring. I see there's a mist in here, and I see like some, like, you know how when there's a drought and things get like the ground, it gets cracky, and you can start to see in your grass that, oh, the grass is dying, and there's a big crack in the yard. You know, you start notice stuff like that. I'm seeing that in here. But I'm seeing that it's like a crustacean that has taken place through years of busyness, years of I'll get to you later, Jesus, years of I'm going to do this. You've told me to do this. You told me 3 years ago to do this. I'm going to do it. But you haven't done it. And see, God doesn't forget our promises to him, and we need to remember his promises to us. And so I can't tell you how many times I've wrestled over my stupidness, my fleshliness, because I want to please him. That's all I want to do, is I want to please him, because he saved me from the pit, the ugly pit of torment, of wickedness, of sin, and pulled me out of the miry clay, pulled me out of that thick stuff, and washed me off with his blood and his rains from heaven, and started to heal my brokenness in my soul. And it didn't happen overnight. It has been a process. And as I was remembering while we were worshiping tonight of how good he really is and how he cares so much, and that stuff that we continue, we're like, you know, I don't know why I do this. I don't know why I do this. He knows why. And sometimes we say, I don't know why I do this. Will you tell me? And he'll be like, smack face, yeah. It's because of blah, blah, blah. Or we're so in our heads, we can't hear him saying it's because of blah. It could be an inner vow. That's why we do it. It could be, you know, a word curse. It could be a false belief system. There's many, many reasons. But the answer is simple: in him. In him, we know everything. And so, you know, I love the Word of God because it brings correction and direction in my life. I need that. And so sometimes we get like, you know, we get tired of correction. We get tired of it because the world is trying to, you know, form us in its image, which is corrupt. And so we kind of like, I'm tired of all this. I don't know which way to turn. Turn to Jesus. Turn to Jesus. Just turn to Jesus. And it doesn't matter what kind of day you've had, you can inwardly turn to Jesus. You can close your eyes and say, Jesus, I love you so. Even if you don't feel like you love him, you start talking like that, and there's a draw in the Spirit that creates an atmosphere of goodness. Now, if you're talking negative, like, I hate this, I hate that, I hate that, you are bringing forth the atmosphere of negativity. That is a kingdom principle that, you know, has been proven in the earth system. They proved it with plants. I remember when Holly taught on that years ago, or ice or water or whatever it was. Listen, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Choose life. If you're speaking, or here's, because the enemy likes when we come into agreement with, well, I don't feel good. The enemy likes that because you've just given license to a very negative thing. Right. And we say, oh, well, it's just a little thing. But all those little things start to be put on your back like a backpack of heaviness. And the next thing you know, you're battling a symptom. And you're like, where did this come from? Well, it came from the words you spoke 3 weeks ago when you were sharing something to somebody. And you thought it was innocent. You know, I have to be very careful, you know, especially when I'm around certain family members, because they like to talk about health stuff. I don't care about that stuff. But because I'm in the family, they think I should have some of the health stuff. And so I pray, and I'm doing this under my breath. I break those words in the name of Jesus. You know, because I am not. The enemy wants us to come in. You know, he likes to put us the squeeze on us. Like maybe that family member sitting so close to you, they're going to hear. I break those words in the name of Jesus. And but we have to be bold enough to get out of our seats, so to speak. We have to start practicing boldness in simple ways, because there's coming a day when we're going to have to say, I'm either for Jesus or I'm not. Right. It's going to come to that. We're all going to bow our knee someday. And I'd rather bow to Jesus than any demonic force. And I'm bowing to Jesus now. I continue to bow to Jesus. I want to keep practicing to bow to Jesus. In case something happens and I get scared, I'm still going to remember to bow to Jesus, because what's in your heart comes out when you're being pressed. And so practice the good stuff while it's good. And so, I was seeing this crack, you know, and it's like, you know, there's nutrients in the spirit realm. There's like rivers of God's glory flowing continually. And some of us need to just rest in the presence of Jesus. Rest, you know, with the word open, and just rest and meditate on God's promises. Because when we do that, it is. He is. It opens. There's an openness that happens in the spirit. And so some of you are like, well, I tried that last year and it didn't work. I did it for 2 weeks and nothing happened. And I was thinking about this earlier today, about the sower who sows the seed. You know, we have a huge crop of corn that started with a kernel. And I look at that and I go, wow. You know, one kernel is producing how many seeds of corn right now? Now, there's a drought, kind of. There's like, we need rain. And so there's this battle going on for nutrients. Now, the strong will survive. The ones that are protected will survive. I'm talking kernels, or am I talking you? Yeah. And so keep close to the spring of life. Keep close to the spring of life. Don't let busyness take over your heart or the plan or the destiny that the Lord has for you. And not only busyness, finances. Don't be chasing money, my friends. Don't chase money. Money is just an object. It's an object. And in Christ, you have all things. Money will come for what you need. I feel like a couple things that I feel a challenge, like tonight in the spirit, I feel like a challenge. Like, whose report are you going to believe? And right now, people are looking at the situations in the natural, and they're kind of like, well, I'm believing this report because it's been coming day after day after day, and I've been doing what you told me to do. I lay hands on stuff, I pray, and I am not seeing a result. And I'm going to challenge you not to pull up your seed. Because if you pull up your seed, it's over. And so seed is faith. I'm talking about faith. I'm talking about if God said something, it is a promise, and we need to contend for it. And I can't tell you how many times I've seen in my own personal life and other people's lives, God has spoke something specifically, and there's been a delay. A delay. Who likes delay? Nobody likes delay. Who likes transition? Who likes transition? You do? Girl, you crazy. You crazy, girl. You crazy. No. Transition is like you're in the middle of the air. You don't know. You can't go back and you can't go forward. The Lord has to do it. It's kind of like wait state, midair, trusting God because you're going to land, but you don't know where because he hasn't told you, but you're in faith, so you know it'll be good. That's transition. Wait state is, you know, seed, time, harvest. It's the same thing. When you're sowing seeds, whether it's words from the, you know, scripture, whether it's promises of God, those are multiplying just like that kernel of corn. It's a different form of seed. It's more powerful than a kernel of corn because it's filled with the power of the Holy Spirit who dwells inside of you. And so I've seen so many times the enemy try to trick us into, are you sure? Did you really hear? That's been too long. Why don't you just peek? Why don't you just Google it? Help it along. And that's when I get in trouble. You know, I'm just going to tell you, some people love Google. I'm not so sure. If something happens to me in the natural and it's a physical thing, I I don't want to know what Google's got to say about it. Because I'd rather put the word and what the Lord says, amen, by his stripes I've been healed. Amen. And if I start to go down the path, the diagnostic report, now some people like to because then they know how to speak to the situation, to the mountain, but I'm not one of those people. I'm not that way. My brain is different. And so it's better, because I have a simple mind, it's better if I just don't know. And I just believe God, and it'll work out, and it'll come to pass. And when it does, victory is here. And so, you know, sometimes it's fast and sometimes it's very slow. And I can't figure out how to make a change in time. And I've had things manifest. I remember when my foot, my ankle was loose. Remember, I broke my bones in my ankle and I dragged my leg like this for a couple years, I think, and believed God for healing and had people pray for me. And I'd have like a little breakthrough for like a minute and then that was it. And then one day, one night, I'm at a conference, and I'm watching these young kids jump up and down at the front, and I'm just admiring how they're not afraid to get out of their chair, how they will go to the altar, and they will dance in front of the Lord, and they don't care what their people are looking at them or not. And I remember thinking, oh, wow. I was so in awe of the freedom, and I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, if you go up there and worship me, I'll heal you. Now, there was the big scare, because I'm afraid of people. You know, I don't want people looking at me, especially dancing. And I remember having a split second, and I got out of the chair. Before I would let reason or doubt enter my mind, I got up, and I was heading towards the aisle up to the front, and I remember standing up the front next to this young girl. She was like a pogo stick. She kept jumping up and down. And I remember looking at her, and I remember just, she didn't see me. She was looking at Jesus. She was worshiping. And I remember just being in awe, and I remember looking at her thinking, I wish I could do that, because I couldn't bend my ankle at all. And I stood there, and something inside of me, I think it might have been the Holy Spirit, I don't know if he pushed me or what, but all of a sudden, I did this. And I was like, oh. And then I did it again. And pretty soon I was jumping up and down. God healed my ankle that night. And he healed me because I got out of my chair. Because I wasn't waiting for somebody to come pray for me. I'd had that happen many times. There was something else going on. Do I know the mechanics of it? Nope. Do I care? Nope. Now, some people you probably would want to know the why, you know, because you think different than me. And then tell me later, because I like that kind of stuff. But I don't like to figure stuff out. I just like, okay, that's good enough for me. And so, I mean, I got healed that night. And I walked and walked and walked for, like, all the time. And see what happened when I started walking. I'm walking down my, because I got healed. Like, that was a miracle. And I went home, and my husband was home eating cereal. It was late at night. And I said, God healed my ankle. And he was like, that's nice, you know, and just kept eating. You know, he didn't care. And not that he didn't care, but he didn't care. It was like he was in his own little cereal world. And the next day, I got up, and I went for a walk. I thought, I am walking, because I have not been able to walk in a couple years. So I took off walking, and I'm walking. And I had some of the best prayer times with Jesus during those times. And it was the revelation would just flow into questions, and he started telling me about Edgar and Holly Bailey's ministry, and you know, and how to pray and all this stuff. And it was just, I would walk so much, I'd be like, oh my gosh, I'm like miles away from home, you know, because I didn't even know. And then, you know what he did after that? He's like, I want you to wave at every car that passes you. I'm thinking, nope. And so my disobedience, you know, because there's always disobedience until. And so I'm like, Lord, why? Why do I have to wave at people? And so he had a reason. And so I slowly would just keep my head down and wave in the beginning, you know, because I'm like, I'm being obedient, but I'm disobedient. You know, I'm half in, but I'm half out. And so I'm like, I do believe, but help me with my unbelief. And so what he was doing, he was trying to free me from being shy. And it was with people that would never see me again, except they did. So I'm walking, and I'm waving to people, and now I'm making eye contact. You know, because as you get free, you get freer. And so I'm like, as they're driving past. And so fast forward a couple years, I meet this lady when I'm at the food pantry because I need help. And she asks, where do you live and all this? I told her what happened. I said, yeah, you know, God healed me, blah, blah, blah. And I said, and I started walking. And she goes, were you the one that would wave at everybody? I go, I think it was me. You know, it's funny. God has a sense of humor. I'm telling you. And when she said that, I wasn't even embarrassed anymore. I got free. I'm like, yeah, that was me, and here's the rest of my testimony. And so, you know, I'm just telling you that there is freedom in this place. And we need to let loose of religious spirits, what parents taught us, what our elders have taught us. You know, sometimes we pick up goo. Who wants to get rid of the goo? Yeah. Yeah. So we're going to do a couple things tonight. I don't know what they are yet, but we're going to do them. So in a spirit of worship, it's very easy for deliverance to happen if you participate in worship. It's kind of like a lot easier than if I just didn't say a word and you are having a talk with God and he's like wanting to work something out of you, but it's quiet. And so you're like, I ain't doing this now, Lord. You know, can't we do this when I get in the car? He's working stuff out of us. But I think we need a little music, a little worship music to help, because some of you are going to get free tonight from sitting in your chairs for too long. You've been sitting too long. You know, another time I got, I remember, shy, couldn't even make eye contact with people, drink before I would talk to people. And you know, God will set you up if you're really serious about getting free. And if you've cried out, I want to get free, he will do it. And I'll never forget when he set me up, because I would get so beat up by the enemy because I'd be like, ah, I blew it again. I couldn't do it. You know, you told me to do this and I wouldn't do it. You told me to go tell somebody I love them, that Jesus loved them. I couldn't do it. All kinds of crazy stuff. One night I was at a conference sitting in the back on the aisle seat so I could get out if it got weird. And I see this lady at the front. And I know some of you guys know this story, but there's people that do not. I see this lady way up at the front, and I'm way in the back, and she's smiling at me like, you know, and I'm looking at her, and I'm like, that's Juanita. And Mary's sitting next to me, and I'm like, Mary, that's Juanita. Juanita's here. Can you believe Juanita's here? And Juanita went to the same church I did when we did church in a truck, and she did childcare, and, you know, so I just knew her from church. And I thought, that is so cool. She's at a spirit-filled event. And so I did the thing that you never do. I smiled back, which caused an invitation. So she came over, Juanita came over, and I thought, I'm going to say hi to Juanita. Mary knows Juanita. And she comes up, and she gets to about here. Now, this is not that far. She's too close for me to run, okay? I realize it's not Juanita. It's a complete stranger. I don't know who this lady is. But she grabs me by the hand and pulls me out of the seat and dances me down the aisle, the center aisle. And while she does that, I feel chains coming off my legs, my back, and the shackles got off. And I danced my way up, and I didn't care about one person in that place because I saw the chains go. Those chains that were bothering me all my life, those chains that were placed on me from whatever, for however long, I don't know. And I danced up that aisle with her, and she became a very good friend of mine, and she was an intercessor. And so I don't even know what happened to you.
I was watching you, I'm like, oh my gosh, she's going up front. There she goes.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, those chains went off, and what happened was, I got worship got unlocked in me. And I never stopped worshiping Jesus. And I was able to worship him in spirit and in truth. And I needed help. And I was crying out for help. And Jesus sent somebody. He tricked me. He tricked me. Jehovah Sneaky tricked me. And it happened so fast, I couldn't run away. He wanted me free too. And he heard the cries of my heart for years. I mean, for years, I could not even raise my hand during worship. I thought that was weird. For years, why close your eyes? Don't you want to see what's going on? For years, if somebody said a hallelujah that wasn't in the words, it would make me mad. Make me mad, but I was too shy to go up to the person and say, what's wrong with you? There's no hallelujah in that song. You're going to cause people to stumble. You ever do something like that? You think you're so right and you do speak it out? People do. We hear it. Bless them, Lord, bless them. Then they come back and go, oh my gosh, I didn't know. And we're like smiling, yeah, God's good, God's good. So a couple things. I keep hearing Let It Rain, so we're going to cue that up. And does anybody else have a really good song that they can think of that will help us get free tonight? So this is...
Fountain, that one that Tina, you...
Rita Springer. Isn't that that one? Oh, that's it. Bam! That's it. That's it. Did you feel that? That's it. Yeah. So what are you doing, Kina? Yeah. Okay, so here's the rule. There are no rules. So we are going to say, Holy Spirit, have your way in me. Whatever's been blocking me, or trying to stop me from walking in complete freedom and victory, I give you permission to unlock it, to set me free. I don't care what people think or how they think I look, because I'm created in your image, and I'm thankful for you, and I just want to worship you in spirit and truth. So help me. I'm calling on you.
I saw a picture while we were worshiping of a person, but I believe this is for more than one. I saw God peeling away years of difficulty. You know, sometimes we go through stuff for years. We walk, you know, it's like we can walk through a long, long desert. And God is with us and we are faithful, so we keep walking. But what I saw, in this case, I saw stuff from childhood. I saw weariness, extreme weariness in the spirit and emotionally. And one person, I feel like you've felt like maybe even you lost your way a little bit. You know God loves you and you love him with all your heart, but sometimes when you're in the desert, you know, night comes and you're not sure of the way. And I saw just many years, and I saw God meet you. I saw Jesus meet you in the desert. I saw him meet you there. And I saw him gently begin to peel away years of weariness, worry, burdens, and in one case, I don't understand exactly what I'm seeing, but even stuff from childhood you've carried all your life, and Satan has used it to weigh you down and to make you feel weak, but Jesus, I saw him just take it off you like a robe. He just began to take it off of you and say, this is not yours, and this is not yours, and this is no longer yours, and this is not yours. I saw him taking piece after piece and saying, you know, I'll take this. This belongs to me. I died for this. I'll take that. this belongs to me. I died for that. And he was, you know, we're supposed to come to him and exchange all this stuff because he purchased that exchange. But if we don't know to do that, it looks like he'll come to us and say, let me take it anyway. Let me handle this for you, because maybe you didn't know that I paid for it. Maybe you didn't know how to do the exchange. I'm doing it for you. I'm meeting you where you're at. And I'm taking the sin. I'm taking the weariness. I'm taking the heartache, someone's heart. You know, you've been through a lot. And you know how we are. We keep on going because that's what we do. We're in faith. We're strong. We keep going. But it doesn't mean that the thing necessarily got resolved. But I see Jesus even putting his hand into a heart, like right into the heart, and just so gently removing years of pain that you carried there. You know, sometimes we aren't even aware of what we're carrying, and it makes us act in ways that we don't like. And we don't realize that sometimes we just need a little healing. I see some scars getting healed as though it never happened. Like I see a big old scar just being healed as though it never happened. He's removing it far away from us. I see him making new as only he can. I see him making someone's life new again as though those things never happened. I see the past being separated. It's like you're being separated from your past. Like even up to 2 minutes ago, even up to a minute ago, you're being separated from all that has happened before, so you can walk in newness of life instead of being defined by all that happened. You're no longer to be defined by what happened to you or the things you did or what people said or what people thought or our successes or our failures. We're not to be defined by that. You're a new creation, and this is a new day. And after I saw him remove these things, I saw the person just standing like weeping with relief, but also feeling very weak. And I saw him take his own robe off his shoulder and put it on your shoulder. His own robe, he put it on your shoulders, and it will strengthen you, because you're saying, but I don't know what to do next. Don't worry, he does. I saw his strength, his wisdom come upon you. We don't have it. We don't have any of it. But he does. And he will not leave you alone. He will not leave you alone.
It's a new day. It really is a new day. It's a new day. There's a lot of freedom that just took place, and it will continue. And, I'm not making eye contact, but I'm making eye contact. There's a lot of crying, and that's good. It's necessary. It's time. The dam has been opened, and it's because you've asked God to help you so many times, and he did. And he will continue. He won't leave you in a half state. You may be in transition now, which is always good. We talked about that. But continue to rest in him and listen and move slow, because this is he's transforming us out of the weird stuff, and we're positioned in his goodness. And so that might seem a little uncomfortable because we're not used to that. But believe that God is doing something, and there is great change that took place in here. Chains have been removed, and inner vows gone, and people are smiling, and so the victory is won. Jesus has done it. So tonight's one of those nights where you're not going to run out of here and go to the drive-through to get a taco. You're going to rest in God and continue, because he's some of you are in surgery right now, and you'll continue in surgery while you're sleeping tonight. He's going to continue because you are a head case, and if you were awake, it might stop from what he's doing because you're like thinking things, and so that's okay. It's okay to just rest in him tonight and let him. And you can say before you go to sleep, "Have your way in me. Do what you want." You keep doing that to the Lord, and he will continue to set you free. And so I just want to bless you tonight. I want to bless your journey. And I love how he's uncapped and opened the real you. The real you is coming forth. And so we thank Jesus. We give him praise and honor. And I want to tell you something. The altar is always open. No matter where you're at, you can always go to the altar. You can, in your bedroom, in your car, you know, your workplace. It doesn't have to be a physical place. It is a place where you can tuck away and just, you know, a lot of times I just get on my face and I go there and I let it go and I let things happen that need to be released and it gets easier as you do this. And so I just want to bless you. I want to bless your time in Lord. And I thank you for coming tonight because you were handpicked. God set you up for tonight to walk in the victory that he has released for all of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, guys, you can stay at the altar. You don't have to, you know, here's the thing. You know, Edgar, he would preach and he would tell his healing stories and he would always say, "My hand is getting hot. If any part of your body starts feeling a tingle, I don't care what I'm doing, get up here." Well, this is the thing. If you feel like you need to go to the altar at any time, get up here. You know, that is a place where there's release and victory and resurrection power. And so, you know, don't feel weird if you know, if you feel a prompting, like whatever, tomorrow, the next week, whatever. If the Lord, if you feel it, do it. And then if you blow it, just, "Lord, help me again. Help me again. Help me again. I love, help me again."